God loves rock music. Does that statement shock you? What if I was to say, God hates rock music? Does that statement shock you? Does it irritate you? Does it relieve you? Today we're going through music and worship, seeing how music relates to worship. And my desire is that by the end of the study today, we will have a fuller understanding of what worship is and how music relates to worship. As we've already seen, music does not equate to worship. We've already studied through many different elements of worship that are not music related. But music is one element of it. And it's often a misunderstood element as well. We're going to try to dig into God's word and see what God says and what God doesn't say about what music is pleasing to him. And from that, we can conclude what kind of music we should have in our worship. Specifically here at CFBC, what we should have in our worship services. So my opening statement was shocking, or at least it was intended to be somewhat shocking. Hopefully, to grab attention, if that's gimmicky, I'm sorry. But hopefully we'll understand why I can say that God can love and he can hate rock music, or any other style for that matter. Any other style of music for that matter. If I was going to sum up the entire teaching today in one sentence, and you've got that in your outline, I would say God is glorified in any and all styles of music that are conducive to bring your affections into a state of worship to God. God is glorified in any and all styles of music that are conducive to bring your affections into a state of worship to God. Music and worship, this is quite a broad topic. I don't presume that I'm going to be able to cover all of the scriptures that relate to this topic. That being said, we should be able to look at enough passages of scripture to see that God's desire is for our hearts to have reverence for him, to have adoration of him, and to have joy in him. And to that end, music is a means God has given us to help bring our hearts into a state of worship. Worship of him. My outline is pretty basic, just quick review of what worship is, and then look at why we use music in worship, and then explore what kinds of music we should use in worship, and I've split that down into three different questions. My quick review here is, well, what is worship? We studied that over the past several weeks, but specifically several weeks ago when I taught on the theology of worship, I really focused in on John 4:24, where Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. In that teaching, I defined worship as the internal position of the heart towards God that manifests itself through our external actions, all for the purpose of the glorification of God. Some of the other men have expressed this in slightly different words, but we've all been saying basically the same thing. True worship is both the attitudes of our heart towards God and the actions that spring out of such a heart, and the entire purpose is to glorify God. And remember, when we talk about glorifying God, we are not saying that we are giving God something that he doesn't already have. God is just as glorious whether you recognize it or not. Everyone will at one point recognize it. There will be one day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So everybody's going to do it at some point. When you give God glory, you're not giving him something he doesn't already have. You're just acknowledging and even delighting in how glorious he already is. With all these things in mind, hopefully we can see that music is a means God has given us to help bring our heart into a place of worship. Which brings us to this question, and almost answers the question, really. Why have music in worship? Why have music and worship? If you've got your Bible with you, I encourage you to turn along with me. I have nothing to say in and of myself, by myself, that is authoritative. God's Word is authoritative, and insofar as we're looking at Scripture, seeing what God has told us, we'll let Him teach us. And if I can be a means to that, praise God for that. Psalm 98, verses 4 through 6. We're going to be in Psalms, the book of Psalms, a lot today, because the book of Psalms was the hymn book for the Israelites. And so when we're going to go ahead and see how music relates to worship, we should look at the book of Psalms a lot. And there's other scriptures you could go to, certainly, but this is where I'm going to be camping most of the teaching. Psalm 98, verses 4 through 6 says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the Lord, before the King, the Lord." At a basic level, we ought to sing to God. We ought to use music in worship to Him because He tells us to. And I think that's what I have in my notes. God tells us to make, it tells us to worship Him with music. That's at its most basic level. It's just He tells you to do it. You say, "Yes, God, yes, sir, I'll do it." However, as we continue studying through this, it will be beneficial for us to understand some of the reasons why God has told us to use music in worship. And one of the primary reasons we need to worship God with songs is because God created us to express ourselves in song. I'm not a historian, but it's my understanding that every culture, or almost every culture in history, has had some form of music for worship, for expressing cultural attitudes, for retelling cultural events, or talking about cultural heroes. In any culture you go to, they have music. Why? Because music is a way we express ourselves. We desire to make and to listen to music because it's a means of expressing who we are. If you turn to Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. You see the psalmist write, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Notice he says, "I'm going to give thanks to God with my whole heart." And then he follows it up in the next verse and says, "I will sing praise." Singing praise, singing a song, is one element of expressing our whole heart to God. Not only does music express who we are, though, it also affects who we are. Now, when I say it affects who we are, I'm primarily referring to our emotions. When you listen to a song that is in a minor key and has many dissonant notes, and what I mean by that is notes that kind of create musical tension, you're going to feel something. You're going to feel certain emotions. Conversely, if you listen to a song that is in a major key and kind of has a happy sound, you're going to feel something different than you felt with a minor song. This is intentional. The people who write music intentionally write music to express a certain mood. And you, being the recipient of that music, will feel the expressed mood, and it affects you. It affects your emotions. You see this in Psalm 57. This is not just a sociological statement that I'm putting forth. We see this in God's Word itself. Psalm 57, verses 7 through 10. Psalm 57, verses 7 through 10. King David makes the statement that he's going to use music to awake something in himself. Psalm 57, verses 7 through 10. "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory, or my whole being. Awake, O harp and lyre, I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples, I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Notice how King David is using the music to express to God something, and he's also using it to awaken affections for God. David sings to God and expresses how his steadfast love, expresses God's steadfast love, that it's great to the heavens, and that God's faithfulness is as high as the clouds, but he also uses the music to awake his glory, or awake his whole being, so that he not only thinks that, yes, God is glorious, but he also wants to believe that God is glorious, because God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth, with our intellect and with our emotions. In the book of the law, if you go to Deuteronomy, we're not going to actually turn there, but in the book of the law, Deuteronomy 6, you see that we are to love the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our might. And then Jesus confirms this as being the greatest commandment in Matthew 22, Matthew 22, 36 through 38. Somebody asks him, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And he, Jesus, said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." We were created by God to bring him glory, that is, to worship him. And an absolutely essential part of worshiping him includes loving him. And that includes having affections for him. It's very unfortunate, that in a lot of Reform circles, circles that we would be included in, a lot of people think, either consciously or subconsciously, that worshiping God is at its highest when you disconnect yourself from your emotions, when you just don't feel too much, because if you feel something, then you might enjoy it, and we're not supposed to enjoy God when we worship him. We're just supposed to be telling a bunch of truth. I mean, after all, the Christian life is about taking up your cross and following Christ, right? If you have to take up your cross, and you have to have your sinful desires killed daily, certainly you don't want to be motivated by emotions, right? No, the truth is that we should not disconnect our emotions when we serve God, but rather we should have a greater passion for God, a greater love for God, a greater joy in God than in any of the other temporary emotions we might feel. I heard a friend recently say, in the Bible, when it comes to pain, you're never told to lessen your sorrow, lessen your pain, increase your joy. Make sure you delight in God, you love God, you have affections for God that are greater than anything that this world can throw at you. Now, you may be wondering, how does this relate to music? It relates a lot to music, because the music affects your emotions, and we'll get into that more later. Also keep in mind, the emotions I'm talking about are not the surface level emotions that vary from day to day, week to week, maybe hour to hour, maybe even minute to minute. Even if you're, it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, you could have emotions one moment, and your emotions the next moment could be very different. But if you've got soul affections for God, they are the foundation for weighing all of the other affections in life. And those soul affections are essential for worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Henry Light referred to worshiping God in the midst of pain, the temporary, superficial, surface-level emotions, in his hymn, "Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken." We've sung it here before, but I love these words. Here's just two of the verses. It says, "Go then, earthly fame and treasure, come disaster, scorn, and pain. In thy service, pain is pleasure. With thy favor, loss is gain. I have called thee Abba Father. I have stayed my heart on thee. I have stayed my heart on thee. Storms may howl and clouds may gather. All must work for good to me. Soul, then know thy full salvation. Rise o'er sin and fear and care. Joy to find in every station something still to do or bear. Think what spirit dwells within thee. Think what Father's smiles are thine. Think that Jesus died to win thee. Child of heaven, canst thou repine? Having lesser emotions is not more worshipful to God. Having greater emotions is more worshipful to God. But I need to return to our original question. Why have music and worship? Well, we've been kind of sort of answering it, but we should have music and worship because God commands it, and a primary reason he commands it is because emotions expresses our affections to God. It also affects our affections. It stirs in us. I think what I have in there, music helps us to express worship to God and also stirs in us worshipful affections for God. Or, if I wanted to go back to my one-sentence summary of the teaching, I would say it like this. God is glorified in any and all styles of music that are conducive to bring your affections into a state of worship to God. So, what kind of music should we have in worship? Lots of people have a bunch of different ideas. What's God have to say in his word? I broke this down into three sub-questions. I said, well, what kind of musical instruments should we use? What instruments should we use? What style of music should be played on those instruments? And what kind of songs should be used? And I'll explain what I mean by that when we get to that third question. Before we continue with the study, I need to delve into one more foundational element of this study. As we study worship, and I think some of the other men may have alluded to this, we have to come at this, and really our study of the entire Bible, God determines and God tells us how we are to worship. If we are to worship him rightly, we must go to his word, the Bible, and we must see how he has told us to worship him. With that said, it's very important to understand that there are times that God gives specifics, and there are times God gives principles. And when it comes to music, it appears to me that God has given us principles for our hearts, where our hearts should be, so that we worship God in spirit and in truth. And the way that this manifests itself in different believers might be different. You could have one believer that just loves a four-part quartet hymn, hymn with all the harmony. Personally for me, that's not really my first primary thing. But there's somebody who can worship God in that, and that's fantastic. That's great. That's good. There's somebody who can worship God in piano. That's fantastic. That's good. There are people who can worship God with a full band with modern instruments. For them, that's fantastic. And that's good because what God is looking is for you to worship the true God as he's revealed himself in his word in spirit and in truth, having the knowledge of who he is and having affections to desire him. When we study music, we will see that God has given us principles for music, but not necessarily specifics. We say, well, I don't know, John. I don't know if that's true. When I read through the Psalms, I see some specifics, specific instruments that are used. Well, I'm glad you said that, because I'm going to actually go here. Let's go to Psalm 150. Psalm 150. We're going to go through some specifics that God gives us, and then we're going to draw some principles out of them. What musical instrument should we use in worship? Psalm 150. I'm going to read the entire psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. And then he goes into the instruments. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, as I mentioned earlier, God gives us principles. In this psalm, Psalm 150, we actually see seven or eight specifics for instruments or kinds of instruments that could be used. Trumpets, lutes, harps, tambourines, strings, pipes, sounding cymbals, loud clashing cymbals. Those last two might be the same. I'm not entirely sure. Regardless, as we read through God's word and we see the different lists of instruments, it may become apparent, and probably should become apparent, that the lists are not all the same. Now, there's overlap for sure, but it's not like every single time he says worship God with instruments, he says use these seven or eight instruments. Sometimes he gives seven or eight. Sometimes he gives four. Sometimes he gives two. Sometimes he gives none. Because it's not a matter of God is pleased with the lute, God is pleased with the harp and the tambourine and the strings and the pipes and sounding cymbals, but nothing else. God is pleased when your heart is in a place of affections for Him. And the music is a means for that. Okay, let's go to some other scriptures so that you're not just listening to me, but you're listening to God's word. Psalm 71, verses 22 and 23. Psalm 71, 22 and 23. Here's a list where there's only two instruments given. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. Notice he's talking about his soul. He's talking about what his lips do. You know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the harp and the lyre, while included in the seven or eight instruments in Psalm 150, you don't see the other instruments listed. Why? Well, because instruments are, they're a means. They're a means to get your heart into a place of worship. If you go to Psalm 81, go forward 10 chapters to Psalm 81, verses 1 through 3, you see the psalmist write, sing aloud to God our strength, shout for joy to the God of Jacob, raise a song, sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp, blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our feast day. Like I said, there's overlap here, but you don't see all the same instruments listed. You only see some of them. Because God is looking for the heart. And if you can worship God with eight instruments, fantastic. If you can worship God with four instruments, fantastic. If you can worship God with two instruments, fantastic. If you can worship God with no instruments, fantastic. And to that end, as a side note, it's important to know that, again, just quickly review, music does not equal worship. Music can be used in worship, in one element of worship, but they're not necessarily the same. Last scripture I have for this subpoint, Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. Practically speaking, what does this mean to us? Well, remember, God's looking for our heart and our mind. But right now we're talking about a lot about of our emotions, our soul affections for God. So God's looking for your affections, and music can be used for that. So can you worship God on a piano? Sure. Can you worship God on a guitar? Absolutely. How about a bongo? Yeah. Drum set? Sure. Flute? Yeah. Violin? Yes. Organ? Yes. Banjo? I guess so. Like, why not? Like, when he gives lists in the Bible, he's saying, I want your whole life. I want all of your affections. I'm not giving you these are 8 or these are 10 or these are 4 instruments I'm pleased with. He wants everything from us. And so that means that if I can worship God on a banjo, I'm going to worship God on a banjo. No, I don't play banjo yet, but I'd like to at some point. And if you could, that's fantastic. Okay, well, what style of music? And this is very, very much related, but not necessarily the same as the instruments, because you can play different styles of music on the same instruments. We've already seen how God commands us to worship God with instruments, and we've seen how those commands are not because God likes only specific instruments, but rather the instruments are a means of expressing and stirring affections for God. Similarly, musical styles that are used in worship should be for the purpose of expressing and stirring affections for God. If I go back to my one-sentence summary, which I'm going to be drilling in because this is my thesis, as it were, for the entire teaching. God is glorified in any and all styles of music that are conducive to bring your affections into a state of worship to God. My introductory statements, rather shocking, I guess, depending on where you're coming from. God loves rock music. God hates rock music. Why would I say such paradoxical statements? I say them because nowhere in the Bible are we told to play a particular style. We're told some outworkings of music: dance, shout for joy, weep, mourn. But we're not told specific styles. And contrary to what some people think, you can't go to anywhere in the Bible and find an idea of a higher form of music or a lower form of music. As I was studying for this, I was listening to a very highly respected teacher, godly man, and I just strongly disagree with him here. He said that he made the statement that as time passes and as culture degenerates, music degenerates along with it. And what I believe he was implying by that statement was, if we go back to music played 400 years ago in church, then we're going to find music that is higher and thus better for worship. The problem is that ever since the fall of man, the heart of man has been completely depraved. And sinful people, back 400 years ago, were just as depraved as sinful people today. Musical styles may have changed, but the heart of man does not. And God is not innately pleased in any musical style by itself. He never tells us he is. And if we want to go back to musical styles, specifically the Book of Psalms, remember it was written for the Israelites. Israelites, if you've ever heard Hebrew music, sounds a little bit different than your modern music today, or classical music, or a lot of other forms of music. It kind of has the Middle Eastern sound. So, but that's probably what they sang the Psalms to. So does that mean that the Hebrew music is inherently better? No, it means that's what they sang the Psalms to. That's how they worship God. And people in the New Testament era may have had a different style of music in which they had affections for God. And music 400 years ago may have evoked certain emotions to God, and music today may evoke certain emotions to God as well. Remember, God is desiring you to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He wants your affections, and He wants your mind. And if rock music, or really any style of music, is effective for bringing your affections into a worshipful state, God has glorified that in that. And if that music, rock music, classical music, any style of music, can be played in a prideful manner, God hates that. He is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God is not about specifics in styles. At least He hasn't given us specifics in styles. He's concerned about your heart. Are you worshiping Him with your entire life? And no matter what style of music, I know this, I've seen it, people can be self-absorbed in any style of music that they play. So, how should we play? What styles should we use? I mean, where can we go? Well, I can go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, the first three verses, and I see a little bit about how to play to God. If I don't know a specific style, at least I can learn something. Psalm 33, 1 through 3 says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody with him on the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Listen to this. Play skillfully with the strings, with loud shouts." Regardless of what style is played, it ought to be played skillfully. And you can play any number of styles very skillfully. Why? Why should it be skillful? So that you can look at the musicians and say, wow, those guys are fantastic. God forbid it. It's not about the musicians. It's about God. Is it because God hates it when you make mistakes? I've made mistakes leading worship. No, it's because I'm supposed to play as skillfully as possible, or anybody who's in music and worship, play as skillfully as possible to have the music be the catalyst so that your affections can be stirred to God and you can have increased affections for God. And again, music from any genre can be played skillfully. Musical expressions vary from era to era, and they vary from culture to culture. I'm very confident that if you went over to a tribe in Africa, you would see people, Christians, who are worshiping God in a completely different way, like musically, than we would here. But they are worshiping God with their whole heart. Well, I know that there are some Christians who are worshiping God with their whole heart, and it may sound different to us, but God is looking for the heart. Yes, sir.
I think we have to be respectful of the fact that we're playing music into a corporate setting, and we have to be sensitive to the disposition of the group in which we're playing. What that style of music communicates to them.
And I think that's part of what understanding the culture that you're playing in, like understanding the culture we're playing in right now, like. Even if it is possible for somebody to worship God with some extremely hard form of music or rap music or whatever, that's not going to be conducive at CFBC because most of us can't worship God that way. And I definitely think that it should. I think that that in and of itself will vary from culture to culture also. Like, I know some people, including myself from time to time, who I might be able to understand lyrics that somebody else would not be able to understand. So for me personally, I may be able to worship God in a specific style of music that in a corporate worship setting would not be conducive, because as you stated, it's not easy for all of us together as a congregation to understand what we're singing. Unfortunately, I'm running out of time, so I can't belabor this point too much. I will hopefully be able to tie up some of these thoughts as we continue on, and gonna have to skip down to I encourage you to read Psalm 149. I don't have time to go to it today. I encourage you to read Psalm 149 because you will see a bunch of different expressions of worship to God that are not what we would commonly find in your average song, whether it be an older song, older hymn, or a modern song. And not just Psalm 149, but I would encourage you to read the entire Bible, but read the Psalms. You will find so many different expressions of worship to God. Worship being adoration of God, joy in God, thanksgiving to God, pleas for help from God, even expressing depressing feelings to God. Over and over, you see all kinds of different themes throughout the Psalms, and the overarching theme is that when you are expressing all of these to God in a state of worship, ultimately He gets praise, which is the purpose of worship. We are to praise God and to worship God with all of our being. Hopefully I can finish up this last subpoint in a brief manner and then conclude what kinds of songs should be used in worship. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, there's common church cultural distinctions between hymns and modern songs, or hymns and praise choruses, or whatever the case may be. As I've looked into this and asked some various worship leaders what the difference is, I oftentimes get a vague response, something like, well, hymns are older and have more theological depth. Praise choruses are newer, they have shallow lyrics, and the choruses are repeated over and over. The problem with this distinction is that it's not always true. There are older songs that might be classified as hymns, and hymns are fantastic. I love hymns. I really, really love hymns. But there are some hymns that do have shallow lyrics, and maybe even bad theology. I come to the garden alone. If you look at the lyrics there, it's a beautiful song, but it's not accurate. You know, the joy that you have in God, none other has ever known. We can all have joy in God. And then there's modern songs, which do have a lot of depth and are beautiful songs, but they might not be classified as hymns. Anyways, getting to Ephesians, regarding the different kinds of songs. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21 says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Paul tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he immediately tells us an outworking of such a filling. He says we will address each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, as I was studying this, I was reading some different commentaries, and there seemed to be not everybody was agreeing what this meant. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, what's the difference? Pretty much everybody agreed that the psalms referred back to the book of Psalms. Some people thought that hymns and spiritual songs also referred back to the book of Psalms, and some thought that it referred to contemporary compositions. I could be wrong here, but as I'm reading this, as I'm reading through the book of Psalms and seeing all the various ways that people express worship to God, I really think what Paul's just getting at is worship God in a variety of manners. You know, yeah, like, he wants everything. He wants all of your life. You don't honor God just when you come to church and you sing a hymn. You honor God when you're in your car listening to music, and if you don't honor God when you're in your car listening to music, maybe you need to change the music you're listening to. Because he's not concerned about you being religious on Sunday or being religious on Wednesday. He wants your entire life, your entire affections, and so that everything we do, and if you read the book of Psalms, you will see a wide variety of ways that people express worship to God. And I think that's what, I could be wrong here, but I think that's what Paul's getting at when he says, address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. He's saying, do it in a variety of forms of songs. My conclusion, I'm going to have to conclude because I don't have a whole lot of time left. Worship is the internal position of your heart towards God, manifests itself in external actions, all for the purpose of glorifying God. As we studied how music relates to worship, we have noted that we ought to use music in worship because God commands it. We have also seen that music is a means God has given us to express worship to him and to even shape our affections for him. Regarding specifics, he's looking for music to express and to stir in us worship from our hearts. And if you can use an instrument or a style or any kind of song to express worship to God, that's good. As Randy noted, in a corporate worship setting, in a specific culture, like here at CFBC, there might be a particular style that is most effective for us as a church to together worship God together. And that's fine. In a different church culture, I've recently been to a city that, or a church that was in University City, and the atmosphere was very different, but very worshipful. And they were worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And I can't say, well, that doesn't sound like our music. It must not be worshipful. For them, they were worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And I think that we need to, as Paul says in Ephesians, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, understand that we come from musically different backgrounds, and different people can express worship to God in different ways, and we need to understand that and even embrace that, because we're different members of the body. We all have a different function. Granted, that's function in the church, but God has created us all unique and different. And so long as our heart is one of worship to God, and when I say our heart, I'm implying that that's going to manifest itself in a holy life. So if somebody is claiming they're worshiping God with a particular style of music and it's not manifesting in their life, it's probably not true worship. My final thought here, which I think I have written down in that handout. Having said everything I've said about music and how it can be conducive or a catalyst for stirring affections, music by itself can't do anything to make you worship God by itself. Only God can make you worship God. And as with the entire Christian life, we are utterly dependent on God to mold our hearts so that we worship him in spirit and in truth. God does use means. He uses means in a variety of different manners, but specifically in worship, he uses music. But the music by itself doesn't make us worship. And understanding this should drive us to passionately pray for God to enable us to worship him in spirit and in truth, really in any style of music, Because if I go to, if I visit another church and their style of music is different, am I going to be like, well, that's not my style of music, so I just can't worship God? No, I should be praying that God would create in me an attitude of worship towards Him regardless of my personal preferences. And He does. He can. If you come to CFPZ and you don't like a particular song, well, one, you could talk to whoever picked the songs that week and say, well, I didn't really like that song. But you could also just ask God, if there's nothing wrong with the song, ask God to give you a heart for worship so that you can learn to express worship to Him in any number of ways. Because again, He's looking for your entire life. He's not looking for one segment. He's looking for your entire life. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we will close out this teaching. Father God, You are good, and Your gifts to us are good. As we've looked at Your word, I am very thankful to us that You have given us this means of worship. I pray that You would cause us all to have a greater love for You, that we would not just have more knowledge, because I know that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. God, create in us a love for each other, and primarily a love for You, so that in all of our life, we would desire to honor You every moment of every day, including worshiping You through music. God, if anything I said today was not of You, I pray that You would protect the hearers from this, that You would let the truth of Your word take hold in their heart, and that no person would receive glory through this except You, Your Son, Jesus Christ, and Your indwelling Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.